Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Acting Up by Adele Bach, narrated by Monica Plant. Chapter 1. Kath DeCourcy picked up her pen, opened her notebook to a blank page, and wrote in her tidiest handwriting, "Bitch." Returning her attention to the audition, she tapped her pen against her upper lip and watched Susan Vernon act. She knew why Paul leaned on the table beside her, clear blue eyes intent on the performance, hair disheveled from raking his fingers through it. Kath couldn't stand the woman, but even she had to admit the actress's skill. Susan's responses to the assistant stage manager's cues had a fragile intensity, even though Frederica's delivery was stammering and nervous. Poor Freddie had been googly-eyed and awkward from the moment Susan walked in. Instead of being gracious and soothing, Susan had ignored the other woman's obvious distress, only making it worse. Susan Vernon had an artist's appreciation for the effect she had on people and no desire to lessen anyone's discomfort. Kath looked down at her notebook again, underlined the single word, darkened the dot over the eye. Susan spoke her final line, staying in character for a beat before she turned to beam at Paul, the rusty folding chair she sat in giving a faint groan as she moved. Kath flipped her notebook shut and rested her palm on it, attempting to smile back when Susan turned a slightly lower wattage expression her way. "Thank you, Susan. We'll be in touch." Paul threaded restless fingers through his hair again, further disordering it. As usual, he needed a haircut. Just now, he looked like a men's cologne ad crossed with an absent-minded professor. Susan extended a hand for him to shake. "No, thank you for the opportunity, Paul." She continued to hold his hand as she turned to Kath. "It was great seeing you both again. Who would guess we would all end up in the same room again after so many years?" Kath looked at the actress, her eyes narrowed in suspicion, but Susan's smile was innocence incarnate. "Thank you, Susan." Kath's voice sounded strangled, even to herself, but Susan just picked up her large shoulder bag and sashayed out of the room, skirt swirling around her thighs. "Freddie, do you think you could give us a moment?" she asked the assistant stage manager. "Sure. Should I get some coffee for you and Paul?" Freddie's equilibrium, not to mention her voice, was restored as if by magic with Susan out of the room. Freddie gathered up her script as Kath nodded and thanked her. Kath and Paul waited until the door closed behind Freddie, and Paul turned, grinning. It wasn't fair, him looking like that. Those blue eyes and high cheekbones framed by that messy hair. Adonis escaped from the Muppet Show. She never could resist him. Professionally, she hardly ever had to. Their tastes were so similar. But when it came to casting Susan Vernon, Kath gritted her teeth and readied herself for battle. Surveying her set expression, Paul leaned forward and said in a cajoling tone, "Come on, she's perfect. Paul, she's Susan fucking Vernon."
"Exactly."
Kath closed her eyes and pinched the bridge of her nose. "It isn't an exaggeration to say the woman is a menace."
"She's a star."
Paul drummed his fingers on the table in front of them, and Kath knew he was 5 seconds from pacing the room, nervous energy flowing off of him in palpable waves. "If she's such a huge star, why would she want to do regional theater in Connecticut? She barely acknowledges the existence of Brooklyn." Kath's eyes flew open and she stared at Paul, willing him to see things her way.
"Why wouldn't she want to do it? It's a great part in a fantastic new play."
"It's Connecticut."
"You just never liked her."
Paul's voice rumbled low and sympathetic, coaxing. "No, I don't. I didn't.
You didn't know her like I did. You never had to work in a production with her before. Kath was getting flustered, her cheeks heating. As the man said, certain women should be struck regularly, like gongs. Private lives, Paul replied, his gaze steady. Don't try to distract me with Noel Coward. But she's so awful. Kath struggled for the words that could describe what should be obvious. Kath. Paul ducked his head in an apparent attempt to hold her eyes, which darted around the windowless, dingy room, looking anywhere but at him. College is history. You've got to let it go. That did it. Paul stiffened as Kath's attention focused on him, her gaze like a smoky green laser pinning him to his chair. It's not like I haven't run into her in the intervening years. Many times. And in addition to my own horrific experiences with her, she's got a reputation, Kath said. Smiling with what he hoped was winning assurance, Paul said,
Yes, as a fantastic actress.
Kath frowned. As someone who leaves a trail of emotional wreckage wherever she goes. Paul pushed away the memory of a drunken escape from Susan's room amid the din of a college cast party their senior year of college. Seeing Kath in the hallway, her seeing him, the disappointment on her face as he buttoned his shirt. Paul had expected trouble from that incident, but Kath had never mentioned it. They should have talked about it then. They talked about everything, endlessly. With anything else, they would have cleared the air, would have laughed about it, would have moved on. Well, they had moved on. Susan hadn't been an issue since then. They had parted ways from Susan after graduation and just hadn't discussed it. So it wasn't like he could bring it up without intense awkwardness now. If he did, it would be as if he thought she had been hurt by that incident. But why would she? This was Kath, his best friend, his partner, his most trusted ally. He forced the thought out of his head, his throat constricting as he swallowed. He resisted the urge to get up and pace. Instead, he focused on Kath's face, looking for any sign that she was relenting. Nothing. Where he was all explosive, positive energy and restless optimism, Kath was solid and steady, pragmatic to the point of pessimism sometimes. The counterbalanced nature of their personalities was one of the reasons they made such a great team. But she could also be stubborn as hell. He decided to take another tack.
You know how I feel about this play. The catalyst is astonishing. I feel like I've stumbled onto a member of the playwriting pantheon. Like I've discovered Stoppard before Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Mamet, before the name meant anything to anybody.
Telford is an incredible talent, and this play deserves a cast that is more than just competent. He paused a moment to let his words sink in, looking for a sign that he was getting through to her. No dice. Her face remained stony.
This could be a theater landmark, a turning point in both our careers. It could open so many doors for us.
Kath looked at him for a long moment, then flipped open her notebook and paged through it, dark, silky hair slipping out of the bun she'd haphazardly secured with a pencil. His fingers itched to tuck the errant strand behind her ear. As she looked down, the sunglasses she had perched on top of her head fell, and she caught them without looking away from her notes.
There's my Kath, Paul thought with approval,
though his stomach still clenched with the tension of trying to get her on board. He wasn't used to seeing her off balance or on edge. He wasn't used to them being so opposed to one another. He needed her to be his rock, his steady right hand. Alicia Johnson, Kath said, looking back up at him.
pointing her sunglasses at his chest like a fencer on guard.
She was okay,
Paul said, shrugging one shoulder. She was better than okay. Kath replaced the glasses on top of her head and lifted an eyebrow, making him squirm. Alicia's audition had been excellent.
Susan's reading was far closer to the conception I had of the character, though.
Kath's eyebrow arched, skeptical. That's what directing is for, Paul. Are you getting lazy in your old age?
Of course not. But why not start with someone who's already part of the way there?
An obstinate expression hardened Kath's long, sensitive face.
Does it have to be Susan? Can't you work with her? I thought you could work with anyone.
Kath shook her head, her eyes closing. Don't do this to me.
Do what?
Her eyes reopened and she looked at him. Don't appeal to my professionalism when I'm busy hating her. Paul's solemn gaze bored into Kath, and she squirmed, her face heating.
Well, I need you,
Paul said, his voice quiet and gentle.
And the play needs an actress of Susan's caliber, but I don't want to make your life miserable.
Kath's eyes narrowed as she stared at Paul. What does that mean? You won't hire her or you'll fire me? Paul sighed and closed his eyes, raking his fingers through his hair, sending the curls into a fresh spasm.
I want Susan.
Sure you do. Everybody does. Paul raised his eyes to hers again.
I want Susan for the role, but I need you for the production. You don't have to worry about anything. You know I would never allow anyone to hurt my stage manager.
Your stage manager? You don't think I can take care of myself? Kath's teeth clenched as if she could bite the words back. She wasn't sure she could take care of herself around Susan. Her pride was going to get her killed one of these days. She could see the obituary. Kath DeCourcy died today, trampled by a toxic narcissist, and her own pride.
Sorry. I know you're a rock. A monument, a self-sustaining ecosystem. Pardon my momentary complete loss of brain function. It won't happen again.
Paul's hand flew out in an apologetic gesture, sending the stack of headshots in front of him spilling across the table. Sighing, Kath moved to gather the stack of photos together. Paul got to his knees to retrieve the ones that had fallen on the floor, and handed them to her with another murmured apology. Kath swallowed and tapped the photos on the table to square them.
Back to the decision at hand, she said, her gut churning.
Climbing to his feet, Paul took a few laps around the tiny room, rubbing his chin. Kath sifted through the photographs to keep her from looking at him as he roamed. Now was not the time to be distracted by his rangy body, his faded old jeans molding to his backside. Coming to a stop to the folding chair where Susan had sat, he said,
How's this? Like I said, I need you.
Kath's belly gave a little flutter at the word need. He means professionally, you idiot. Get yourself together. Paul went on.
So, I'll give you veto power. If you really can't work with Susan, then we'll go a different direction.
Damn you for being so reasonable. She could resist him as long as he resisted her. Capitulation, though, this was playing dirty. Kath sighed, and her shoulders sagged.
Fine. If you want Susan so badly, hire Susan. I'll do my best to work with her.
Paul clapped his hands and strode back to Kath, bending over to hug her and kissing her on the cheek.
You won't regret it.
Right.
Sure. That's really likely, she said,
sitting stiff and still as his fingers squeezed her shoulders. She was uncomfortably aware of the pull of his intense blue gaze, and the way it was making her imagine very unprofessional things about him. Things that involved running her own fingers through that messy, too long hair, tugging his mouth to hers. Kath gave herself a mental shake. Damn Susan Vernon, anyway. Having her, him, the three of them in the same place together seemed to knock Kath off balance, making her feel more like the awkward college student she had once been than the competent professional she had become. Digging up the inconvenient attraction for Paul that she'd kept buried for years. The door opened and Freddie came back in, her eyes focused on a cardboard tray of paper cups in one hand.
Okay, Kath, black, one sugar. Paul, cream, no sugar. Me, always the diplomat, cream and sugar. I don't play favorites.
She looked up at them and her grin faltered. Paul dropped his hands from Kath's shoulders. Embarrassed, Kath tucked a loose strand of hair behind her ear.
Thanks, Freddie,
Kath said with a mechanical smile, reaching for the cup that was extended toward her. Taking a long sip, the caffeine added an immediate extra zing to her already tense mood. When was the last time I ate, anyway? Sitting back in her creaky folding chair, Kath took a few deep breaths, seeking her usual calm center. She leafed through the stack of headshots in front of her and drew Susan's from the pile, placing it on its own in the middle of the table.
Okay, so we're offering the part of Molly to Susan Vernon.
Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Freddie nodding as she sipped her coffee.
At two?
Poor Freddie, so recently savaged by the actress's disdain, was still Team Susan all the way. Kath took a deep breath.
Second choice, in case Susan turns us down?
Paul pulled at his lower lip, deep in thought.
Alicia Johnson, he said. Hopefully we don't have to turn to a third choice because...
Kath silently concurred. Susan and Alicia were so much better than the rest. The pool for third choice seemed dire in comparison.
Okay, Kath said. So, for Molly's long-suffering husband, Hugh, where did you want to go there?
Paul's eyes darted to Kath with a measuring expression she recognized. He wanted her approval. Warmth spread through her chest at the familiar feeling of their team status.
Maybe this is controversial, given his relative lack of stage experience, he said. But I really thought James Martin killed it.
Not controversial at all, Paul.
He totally did. Kath pulled the actor's photo from the pile and placed it next to Susan's, looking from the handsome, glowing grin to Susan's more secretive, seductive smirk.
Great.
So now I have to work with Susan the seductress and James the television hottie. This won't be an awkward summer. No, not at all. 2. Alicia Johnson. From Susan Vernon. Subject, audition for The Catalyst.
Hey, girl, did I hear you were up for Molly in that new Telford play? So am I. Oh, my God, seeing Paul Mainwaring's face in an audition room after all these years? Memories. He's still cute, if you ignore the fungus growing on top of his head. Which, as you can imagine, I can't. My standards are too high. He's done genius stuff in the last few years, though. It would be interesting to work with him.
Kath D was still playing Vestal Virgin to Paul's High Priest of the Theater. Ugh.
You would think she would have become an accountant, or a librarian, or something more suited to her by now. How can someone so skinny and plain work in the arts?
Well, not that stage managers have anything to do with art, but frankly, it makes me sick that she would hang on to him like a lovesick puppy this long.
You think he keeps her around to stroke his ego? Or is he just blind? She even wears the same style sneakers he does. It's ridiculous. Anyway, let the best woman win. You're sure to get it. All my love, Susan.
To Susan Vernon, from Alicia Johnson. Subject, regarding, audition for The Catalyst.
Hi, hun.
Oh, I had hoped the rumors I heard weren't true. Now I know I won't get to blame Molly. You're too good. Not to mention that you have that history with Paul Mainwaring. And I am so sure you'd kick him out of bed for eating crackers. Messy hair or no. Not. Methinks you protest too much. Anyway, he's sure to cast you, you vixen. Better make sure my agent has some other stuff lined up for me.
Unless, are you really after that untitled movie that has everyone talking? It would be just like you to talk a big game about going to play a role in a new play in Lower Bumblefuck, Connecticut, and then end up on a marquee in Los Angeles. You'll bring me as your plus one to the premiere, right? We could make quite a splash together on the red carpet, don't you think? Smooches. Liss.
Chapter 2. Kath swiped a lank strand of hair off her sweaty forehead and tapped at the screen of the phone strapped to her arm. 10 miles, and close to her personal best time. Not bad. Getting out of Manhattan had the benefit of improved air quality, and her runs had seemed a touch easier since she had arrived in Connecticut. Still breathing heavily, she dug the keys to her home away from home out of the pocket of her shorts. The cast of Hamilton was still apparently expecting cardio from her, belting the final bars of The Room Where It Happens through her earbuds. Her heart thumped in time with the number. The dark, dingy entryway of the renovated Victorian smelled like dryer sheets and burned garlic. Kath walked past the door to the ground floor apartment Paul was staying in, the familiar prickle of awareness of his presence behind the closed door making her sigh and rub her eyes. He had told her he was going to spend his morning going over the playwright's latest changes, his grumbling about the fickle nature of writers belied by an eager gleam in his eye. Paul's praise of the play hadn't been hyperbole. She agreed with his belief that it had the potential to change their careers for the better, be a pivot point for both of them. At the same time, he acknowledged that as good as the play had been in its audition draft, the latest revisions made it even better. Kath rolled her shoulders and tilted her head to stretch her neck as she headed for the stairs. The final click-boom of the song resonated in her ears when a touch on her shoulder made her start violently. Whirling, she yanked the earbuds out by the cords and rested her hand on her chest to slow her thudding heart. Susan! Closing her eyes, she saw an afterimage of the woman's impossibly beautiful face imprinted on her retinas. Forcing a smile and willing her leaping heart to return to its usual location, Kath reopened her eyes. What are you doing here today? I didn't think the cast was arriving until tomorrow. A broad smile lit Susan's enormous, tilted amber eyes. Not for the first time, Kath found herself grudgingly admiring the woman's golden tan skin, loosely curling black hair, full lips, and those almost feline eyes. Nobody would deny that Susan was gorgeous. Too bad about the personality.
I decided to come a day early, see what the lay of the land is. I've never been to Churchill before. It's quaint, isn't it? Susan asked.
Without waiting for an answer, she went on,
But apparently, the cast housing isn't ready today. I came to beg for a place to sleep with Paul.
Kath's stomach lurched, but she willed herself not to react, her facial muscles rigid. Sleep. Right.
And can he accommodate you? Says he doesn't have enough room and has too much work to do to have me underfoot.
Hooking her fingers in the air beside her face to indicate the quotes, Susan pouted. Dread squeezed Kath's heart. No wonder Susan appeared friendly. She wanted something. Of course she did. There's a bed and breakfast in the center of town, Kath said with a tight smile. The pout increased.
Really? I can't stay with you for just one night.
Susan, my so-called apartment is the size of a large closet. Kath hadn't thought she could be grateful that even by Manhattan standards, the place was minuscule. A single long room containing a small table with two chairs, a little kitchenette built into one short wall, and a love seat and tiny coffee table that needed to be shoved away to accommodate the Murphy bed swinging down from the wall when it was time to go to sleep. Susan grimaced.
Yeah, I saw Paul's place. Eensy.
And his place is at least twice the size of mine. Paul has the only one bedroom in the building. The rest are studios. And I am sure as hell not sharing a bed with you. Listen, I have to get a shower and get to the theater. Kath crossed her arms across her chest, aware of her sticky, clammy body clad in running spandex, contrasting with Susan's clean skin, subtle makeup, and the light summer dress that clung to her body in ways that had nothing to do with sweat or exertion. I'm sorry the cast housing isn't ready yet, but you really should have checked before you came all this way. Try the B&B. Ignoring the flat anger flooding Susan's face, Kath turned and jogged up the stairs to her apartment. Paul tugged at his hair and considered the maquette of the set design in front of him.
Carl, I asked for a vertical element on stage left.
Instead of looking at the set designer, he found himself looking at Kath, who had picked up her notebook and was leafing through her notes from the set and costume design meetings. Years of experience told him she would back him up, finding the proof of the conversation in her records and providing it if necessary. Carl stuffed one hand into the pocket of his paint-splattered jeans and stroked his ginger beard with the other, considering the meticulous scale model in front of them.
Yeah, but the budget.
I'm not talking about a grand staircase. James Martin is a physical actor. I want to take advantage of that. The theater already has plenty of scaffolding in-house. Make do, but go up. Minimal is fine. Actually,
Paul paced around the table, looking at the maquette from a different angle.
Considering we're dealing with themes of fantasy versus reality, sanity and madness, how about taking the design successively more minimal the further you get to stage left? We can incorporate that into the blocking, too. By the time you get to the left wing, the bare scaffold can be all that's left.
Carl considered this, his brawny shoulders hunched and his thick brows drawn together. Paul left him to think and walked over to where Kath was sitting. Her notes unneeded, she was now color-coding her copy of the script. Seeming to be unaware of Paul's scrutiny, she tilted her head and swept her long, straight hair up and over one shoulder, fingertips coming to rest on the slight widow's peak that made her face into an elongated heart. Paul had seen her do this dozens of times over the years, snatching moments where she wasn't needed in early meetings to painstakingly mark the script with her own colorful, arcane system. Kath set down a green pen and picked up a blue one, carefully ticking a line, then scratching her neck with the butt end of the pen, sending a dangling earring swinging. Paul realized he was intently focused on that ear, the silky fall of dark hair behind it, the smooth column of Kath's neck. He mentally shook himself like a dog emerging from a chilly lake. This is Kath, you idiot. Get yourself under control. He wasn't stupid. He realized his best friend and most trusted professional ally was a woman. But he didn't normally see her that way. They had the relationship they had, friends and collaborators. It worked. He liked it that way. His brain, traitor that it was, flew back to college instead of coming obediently to heel. That one night in senior year with the too many beers, well, one of many nights with too many beers. But this one had been different. He had been at Kath's.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?